Join me in Zechariah chapter 3, please. Again, I remind you, this is the prophet Zechariah speaking to the people of Israel after their captivity in Babylon. They are now have returned to Jerusalem and have been given the instruction to rebuild the temple. They are in process of that. But these visions, 8 in total, I think this is number 4 that we will go into in chapter 3. We still see that apocalyptic type of language, symbolic signs, etc., that we work into to find its meaning. Amen. Amen. But please don't, she's great. Don't worry about her. I can get louder than she can. But this is a very important passage, because not only will it be speaking to the people of Israel, as all of this is, but this is one that moves quickly into New Testament times with its prophecy. So hear the word of the Lord as we see it here in Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah speaking, writing here, "Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, 'The Lord rebuke you, O Satan. The Lord has chosen Jerusalem, rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked from the fire?' Now Joshua was standing before the angel clothed with filthy garments. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, 'Remove the filthy garments from him.' And to him he said, 'Behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments.' And I said, 'Let them put a clean turban on his head.' So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord was standing by. And the angel of the Lord solemnly assured Joshua, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways and keep my charge, then you shall rule my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you the right access among those who are standing here. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, you and your friends who sit before you, for they are men who are signed. Behold, I will bring my servant the branch. For behold, on the stone that I have set before Joshua, on a single stone with 7 eyes, I will engrave its inscription, declares the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of this land in a single day. In that day, declares the Lord of hosts, every one of you will invite his neighbor to come under his vine and under his fig tree.'" I do pray the Lord would add his blessing to the reading of his word. In relation to this passage here, the minister T.V. Moore of the Southern Presbyterian Church many, many years ago wrote this. He says, "This vision that we've been given here in Zechariah, this vision lies near the deepest throbbing of a human heart. A sense of sin and a feeling of hopeless ill desert are among the deepest emotions of a heart. A sense of sin fairly awakened produces despair." Mr. Moore is speaking of Joshua the high priest again in verse 3. "Now Joshua was standing before the angel clothed with filthy garments, and the angel said to him before him, 'Remove the filthy garments.'" The filthy garments reflect in a very pictorial way the sinfulness of the high priest, this man. And he is standing before the Lord. I think you would agree that if you found yourself standing before the Lord himself, clothed in the filthy garments of our life, it would be quite a despairing event. But I must ask us, all of us, is this true for us? Because indeed we are seated here before the Lord. Do we have a sense of our sin? And does that sense of our sin take us to the place, as Mr. Moore writes, of a hopeless ill desert? Does the recognition of our sin produce a despair? You see, I think that's one of the things wrong with humankind today. We do not recognize sin as any more than a mistake, a wrong decision. Well, you know, everybody's doing it. It just happens. We don't see sin in its depraved depth of insult to God. These questions certainly should be asked of all of us, but please let us start in the right place as our text has given us. It is not the common man standing in the gathering worshiping God that is pictured here. It is the high priest. It's the man standing at the front of the room. It's the man who is the representative of these people before God. It's the man up front. It's the one who has authority and privilege and right to represent the people before a holy and righteous God. And he's standing there before God in his filthy rags. Certainly it is this high priest. It is the picture of Israel. He is the representation of the nation of Israel. And that goes even further as you understand the high priestly situation in the Old Testament. When he would walk into the Holy of Holies, he would have the names of each of the 12 tribes of Israel on his garment. And so when he went in before God, certainly he went in as a man before God, but he went in as a representative of everyone in Israel. So it was not only Joshua who stood there before God in his filthy rags, but those filthy rags were covered with all of the names of Israel. And so there you have the nation standing before God. It is the same with the man standing here before you today. Standing with filthy rags. But it is standing before a people in filthy rags. And so the question must be asked here. The question must be asked. If we are standing here in our filthy rags, if Joshua was standing here in his defiled garments, the question must be asked, why go forward? Why go on? How can a man who stands here in this position go on and be that representative of the people before God? How can a preacher stand in a pulpit and offer the word of God standing there in his filth? Why go on in the condition we are in as we stand before the Lord? And see, there's where it comes to, it should grip us. That even as we sit here in these pews worshiping and honoring the Lord with our mere presence, but also in song, in prayer, in word preached and read, but we are sitting here in our sinfulness. Redeemed? Yet still, the evidence of that old sinful nature rears its ugly head too much. So why go on? Isaiah chapter 6, he says, woe is me. See, here's a man who understood sin. And here's a man who understood the holiness and righteousness of God as he stood before him. He says, woe is me, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. This is Joshua, as we're given here in this vision. But it's also us. Woe is me. We'll answer that question, but let us dig into our text a little bit deeper before we do. All right, let's set the scene as we have this here in chapter 3. Imagine in your mind a courtroom. Many of you have been there. There are five people in attendance in this courtroom. First of all, there's Joshua the high priest, of which we have record here. There is Satan, the angel of the Lord, and then the Lord God himself, along with another angel. So this courtroom is filled, but there are four prominent names. Joshua the high priest, Satan, the angel of the Lord, and Lord God himself. Satan is there to accuse. Your mind has to immediately go to Job. As God called the Satan up and said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Here is Satan standing on Joshua's right hand. And he is there to accuse with his lies and his defiled accusations. And you see, this is, as we walk through this text, he tempts us in our sin, and he tempts us in that place to where we fall. And then when we are fallen, he asks the same question I just asked. How can you continue in your fall? Not only does he tempt us to sin, and when we fall in sin, he steps back and says, "See, I told you." That's what he's doing before Joshua. You see, the call is for the people to rebuild the temple. They were sent from their captivity back to Jerusalem, and they were to rebuild the center place of worship so God could come and reside with his people. And here stands the high priest who represents the people in his sin. And so we would be asking, how can these who are mired in their sin have anything to do with building a holy house? Will it be holy once it's built by sinful people? Once again, Reverend Moore wrote in his book, imagining in his mind the words of Satan that he would use to accuse Joshua, he might have said something like this. He said, "Joshua, you are not fit to appear before God, and there is nothing in you that can be pleasing to him. Therefore, go away. Abandon your service, which you are only polluting by your presence, and act more in your character by indulging openly in the sin and rebellion of your life. Joshua, look who you are. Why are you here?" You ever heard Satan whisper that in your ear? Sure we have. And you know, the real sad thing about this is Mr. Moore's suggestion of Satan's accusation against us is exactly right. He's true in his accusation. He's dead on. We are not fit to appear before God. There is nothing in us that pleases him. There is nothing in us that does good work. We are, in our sinful nature, pollution to his name. And we do often, more than we would even like to admit, act in our sinful rebellion, even as redeemed individuals. Yet. You was hoping there was going to be a yet, right? Or a but. Yet. This is not where our Lord God leaves Joshua the high priest, nor will he leave you and me in our defiled nature. Look with me at verse 2, back to verse 2. Satan is standing there accusing, and the Lord said to Satan, verse 2, "The Lord rebuke you, O Satan." The Lord rebuke you, O Satan. The Lord has chosen Jerusalem. Rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? The word rebuke, admonish, criticize. It's an utter setting away, turning away, putting them in this place. So Satan is here accusing Joshua in his lies, and the Lord God says simply, "Go away." And notice in the rest of our text, there is not one more word uttered by Satan. Not one more word. As I said, the Lord says, "Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" Meaning, is this not a burning stick that I have taken from the fire? Is this not Jerusalem that I have pulled away from their depravity? Is this not a people that I have rescued and pulled from a fire? That's simply what he means when he says, "Is this not a brand, a burning stick that I have pulled from the fire?" These people are covered in sin, yet it is God who rescued them. It is he who plucked them from the fire. Just as we were talking earlier, it is you and I on the very threshold of hell itself. And Jesus Christ, through his work of salvation, has plucked us, you the redeemed, you the converted, from that fire. Romans chapter 5, God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, plucked from the fire. And then listen to these beautiful words of Zechariah the prophet as we read on from verse 4. Picture yourself standing before God in that one-on-one time, and you just come in from playing outside. I can picture in my mind Luke and Justin, my grandsons, after they've been out helping Mama plow and playing in the mud, riding the four-wheelers, looking for every mud hole they can find, coming back in, and all you can see is the white, and if they smile, you see their teeth. Dirty. My son-in-law's having a fit. But dirty. And that's us. That's us standing before God. But listen to these words. Verse 4, and the angel said to those who were standing before him, the throng of angels around him, remove the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments. And I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord was standing by. I will clothe you in clean robes, and the angel of the Lord was standing by. Where is Satan? Gone. Gone. Remember this. Satan can come with his lies, and he can come with his temptations, but he has no place. He has no power. He has no ability that we do not give him. Simply use the words, the Lord Christ rebuke you. Go away in Jesus' name. He says, I have taken away your iniquity. I have taken your sin away. And what better news could Joshua have received? Because Joshua is a man who is given the pleasure and the privilege of being the priest, the representative of the people before God. And here he stands defiled, and now he is redeemed. He is made new. He is dressed now in his white vestments, his white garments. So he can walk into that Holy of Holies. Yes, as a sinner, but yes, as one accepted by God because of the work of Jesus Christ. The promise of Jesus Christ for Zechariah, the work of Jesus Christ for you and I. This is how we go on in the ministry. This is how a sinful man can stand before you and preach. This is how a sinful man can stand before you in Sunday school teaching you the Word of God. A choir can sing beautiful songs, every one of them sinners, standing in our own name defiled. But in the name of Jesus Christ, we stand redeemed. We stand as that brand plucked from the fire. We've been given the new clothes and the new garments. Listen to these words from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, some of you may be sitting there and going, well, that ain't me. This is a general list. We could add plenty. And it's you and it's me. And listen to verse 11. And such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Just like Joshua the high priest, we were standing before God in our sin. The adultery, the idolatry, the hopelessness, our sin pervading our lives. And as Martin Lloyd-Jones says, the greatest word in all of holy text, but you were washed. But you were washed. But you were washed. Ezekiel 36, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities. Isaiah, once again, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness and a bridegroom, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. we no longer stand before God in filthy rags. And then there's this incredible promise, if you will join me at verse 8 of Zechariah 3. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, you and your friends who sit before you, for they are men who are a sign. Behold, I will bring my servant the branch. Now, these redeemed people stand as a sign to the world. Yes, they're sinful. Yes, they're sinners, but now they stand redeemed. Just like a signpost out there advertising that when you move into or roll into a city limits, this is where you are. They show forth what God has done as a sign. And this is an incredible promise. I will bring my servant the branch. I will remove the iniquity of this land in a single day. Now, we need to name parts here. Who is the I? I will remove the iniquity. My servant the branch. This is God the Father, I. I, God the Father, will remove this iniquity from you through my son, the branch, the root, the Jesse of David, Jesus Christ. See, as I told you, this points straight to Jesus Christ, both as the high priest Joshua there over his people, but then this idea of the branch. I will send my branch, that tree of life, to you. This is all a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. And see, this is what Jesus Christ will do, has done. He says, I will remove all the iniquity of this land in a single day. Folks, that's speaking of the end times. That's speaking of the day of the Lord. The sinful pagan world that we have around us now is ruling in its pagan ways, but there will be a day when that iniquity is all gone. All gone. And we all stand in the beauty of our Lord Jesus Christ. All sin gone. All injustice gone. Gone. And then there's one more promise. I picture many of you, I see your pictures on Facebook where you're sitting out under the trees around the picnic tables or enjoying the fire. Was over at Tim and Jill's the other night and they were out sitting around the fire and outside enjoying the area. And you're inviting all your friends over to come and eat and have the good time. Look at verse 10. In that day, in the day of the Lord, when we are here and all sin is gone. We are with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, in that day, declares the Lord of hosts, every one of you will invite his neighbor to come under his vine and under his fig tree. We're going on a picnic. Now, vine and fig tree are synonymous with wealth and goodness, but also of God and nation. The wealth of God we will be able to enjoy. The beauty of the goodness of God we will be able to enjoy, and we will sit down with our brothers and sisters and enjoy the great favor of God under the shade of His tree. I like that. I like sitting outside. I like sitting outside and enjoying the nature. Folks, this is a prophecy of the nation of Israel, but it was not fulfilled in Israel's time. It is a prophecy given to the coming of Jesus Christ and that final day and that second coming of the Lord when He comes and redeems completely and fully this creation. And we enjoy the favor of God forever. But there had to be a price to be paid. Our Lord Jesus Christ had to die. And it is through the washing of that blood that we are removed from those filthy rags and given those of clean. I hope you all look good in white. It'll be striking. Our Lord says, behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments. Come, Lord Jesus, even today, and let's do this. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I do thank you for the coming of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that we were washed. We were plucked like a brand, a burning stick from the fire, that we have no place with Satan and he none with us. Because you have taken us from the bondage of iniquity, and one day you will come and remove all iniquity from this land. We pray for that day. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen.